Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Amanda Anderson with Clean Harbors.
I'm Amanda Anderson with Clean Harbors. I'm a technical services account manager.
Well, before we get into that title, let's get into what Clean Harbors does and then maybe explain that title as well, because I heard technical in there and I think a lot of people are like, oh, okay, what's that all about?
So Clean Harbors is nationwide emergency response. We do hazardous waste transportation and disposal. We have hydrovac services. We do remediation. We have a water treatment group. We have industrial services. I'm part of the technical services group. So we do lab packs. We do cabinet cleanouts. We do transportation and disposal of non-hazardous waste, anything like that.
Do you do any work in the Bakken?
We do. That's Jeff normally. So he does the majority of it up there, but we have been up there. We've been supported. We have an office in Arnegard, so we have a lot of equipment and stuff up there.
I see in your booth here, you've got water. Is that a pretty common response for you guys?
It is, depending on the location, obviously. We have branches all over the country, so it can be. We have boats in most of our facilities that could have a water response, but we're close with BNSF in some places, and so we do some OSRO stuff as well.
What kind of relationship do you have with the community when you come in there? Are they afraid of you? Do they welcome you in and have a barbecue? How does that work sometimes?
Normally, at least from my experience, it's taken well, because we're there to clean it up. Mm-hmm. We're not there to hide it. We're not there to bury it someplace. We're there to clean up. We're generally supported very well by people, and our crews are they're very professional. They're very friendly. They know what they're doing. They're very well trained. So it tends to be very welcoming atmosphere.
What happens to the waste? Can it be recycled? Does it go into a magic landfill? What happens to it?
Landfill. So it just depends on what it is. We can incinerate. We have incinerators all across the country. Some waste can be recycled, and we do, if that's an option, we look for it. We have a landfill in Sawyer, a non-hazardous landfill. We also have hazardous landfills for hazardous material. So it all depends on what kind of waste it is, what's in it, things like that.
What is it you guys try to get across, either inform or educate, about Clean Harbors? You know, a lot of times it's such a quick response that a lot of people don't have time to think. Do you guys have a vetting process when it's done too? Just kind of explain your guys' process when you come in there and then when you leave.
So safety's number one for us. That's what everybody in Clean Harbors is trained on first. The first thing you're going to do is safety. So you're going to come in, you're going to make a safety plan. And then at the end, when everything's cleaned up and done, you're constantly in contact with our health and safety department. And then they do a report, if it's requested by the customer. What did we do? Where did it go? How did it happen? What did we use? Who was here? Things like that. But always their safety is number one. That's what parts are down there.
You mentioned BNSF. I was going to ask you, do you go outside of oil and gas, like into ag and that sort of thing too?
Absolutely. We are healthcare, agriculture, industrial, all over the board. So anything you guys or anyone has, we can handle it. And if we can't, we can find you someone who can.
Well, thank you much. Any final thoughts you might have? I usually like to give the guest free rein to go whatever direction they want, so the question's not framed by me.
No, I think we're enjoying our time up here. It's been good. We've met a lot of people, and we're hoping for some more partnerships.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
To listen to the full-length interview with Amanda Anderson from Clean Harbors, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crowe, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam, for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
The 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue is happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. Live music from the Blue Ribbon Band, beverages from Armies West, and brisket, chicken, ribs, and much, much more vying for this year's Bakken Barbecue Trophy. The cost is $15 a person, kids 10 and under for free, and all the proceeds go to benefit Make-A-Wish North Dakota. That's the fourth annual Bakken Barbecue, happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's the fourth annual Bakken Barbecue. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Gene Veeder, Executive Director for the McKenzie County Job Development Authority.
Gene Veeder, McKenzie County Economic Development.
McKenzie County is known as the hot zone or the sweet spot of the Bakken. And so talk to me a little bit about what's going on with the oil and gas activity in your particular county.
Well, we've been fortunate during this whole downturn that we've seen across the country in the last year is that McKenzie County is still an area that produces the majority of the oil that comes out of the Bakken. And so there's always been, during this whole process, if anything's happening, it's probably happening within 60 miles of Watford City. So although we've seen a downturn, it hasn't probably impacted our community like it might have impacted some other communities. So we continue to build. You know, we're building a healthcare facility. We're just opened a new high school. We're building a new event center right now, a law enforcement center, some major construction projects to facilitate what this conference is kind of showing is that this thing is going to work its way back and we should be poised to be back at that time. So we're optimistic.
How's the conference going for you? I would imagine that McKenzie County, Watford City would be one of the more popular booths because of the activity.
Yeah, the fun thing about this is I've been coming here probably since since it started, really. And it is funny to recognize that it's a pretty close fraternity of people, that we know the majority of the people here. We've done business. A lot of these people have been in this business and industry for a number of years. And so we get real positive response back. Most of the activity in the patch, one time or the other, comes through Watford City. And so we're part of the partnership in the oil and gas industry. It's been a nice partnership for us. The state recognizes what we've done in our community to facilitate this this real nice expansion. And so it's actually really a fun time for us to be here and be partners with this industry.
How the residents doing with, you hear the good, you hear the bad, you hear the dust stories, you hear the pizza parlors that are making all kinds of money, good and bad. How are the residents taking the activity?
Well, Watford City has always been pretty supportive of the industry, and I commend them for being so patient during the last two or three years when we were really kind of overrun by, there was really mixed feelings about it then. I would say the attitude's very positive now, and we've seen that, getting some of the traffic out of the center of town, adding some new retail establishments, the support of the industry in areas like our hospital and daycare and those kind of things. And so really it feels much more like a bustling, normal community with some good economic future. That's what it feels like, and I think most people would tell you that.
I've been on record now for 3 years saying that at the end of the day, the two communities that are really going to be unbelievable economic successes is Dickinson and Watford City. I think Watford City's got an early lead on this because of a lot of the infrastructure and a new high school, like you said. Just what do you make of that comment? And I'm not saying pick winners or losers, but I'm just talking about the amount of infrastructure and development and the community support, Watford and Dickinson.
Well, one of the things that we find out, and I don't say this to be politically correct, is that as this thing has evolved, Williston and Dickinson have just become real, real big partners for us. Is that the businesses that do business in Watford City also do businesses in Williston and do business in Dickinson. One of the things that has really emerged out of this, though, is that as this thing grows, industry wants their people within, half hour, 45 minutes of the site.
To listen to the full-length interview with Gene Veeder or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. The fourth annual Bakken Barbecue is happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. Live music from the Blue Ribbon Band, beverages from Army's West, and brisket, chicken, ribs, and much, much more vying for this year's Bakken Barbecue Trophy. The cost is $15 a person, kids 10 and under for free, and all the proceeds go to benefit Make-A-Wish North Dakota. That's the fourth annual Bakken Barbecue, happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's the fourth annual Bakken Barbecue.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.